Please turn your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. John, chapter 20. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you, Lord, that we can come before your throne of grace and mercy through your name. Lord, to receive grace and mercy, forgiveness, and relationship with you. And Lord, it's in your name that we live and breathe. Without you, we are nothing. So Lord, help us to live in you and not be ashamed of your great name. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. John chapter 20, verse 30. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. What a wonderful passage to know that Jesus did so much more than the gospel account of his life and his earthly ministry. And yet there is enough written for you and I to have life in his name and through his name by believing in the name of Jesus. So, Christians, born again believers, born by the Spirit of God and washed in the blood of the Lamb, it is time for you to quit using a generic word for God. It's time for us in the United States not to be ashamed of the name of Jesus. You see, you can use the generic word and name and just say God, and you will have no problem. Because a generic word for God could mean any other God besides the God that this book, that the volume of this book is written about. It could be the God of the Muslims, or the God of the Buddhists, or the Mormon, latter day, whatever it may be. It could be a name of the many names of Nimrod and Sumerus and Tammuz, of mystery Babylon. But when you say the name of Jesus, all of heaven pays attention. And the devil does not want you and I to use the name of Jesus. By the way, when you use a generic word for God and just say God, then it could mean him. Or you know what else? It could mean you. You know, many today think that they're God. So, born-again believers, let's use the name of Jesus and not be ashamed of it. Let's do not blaspheme the Spirit of grace and mercy, because without the name of Jesus, we have no hope. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God brings glory and praise to Jesus Christ and not to anybody else. You see, there is life in his name. It says that believing you may have life in his name. And that's the name of Jesus. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. So there is life in his name. Another passage of scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, says this. 1 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. By the way, we're just like the person in court reading a judgment. We're not the judge. We're simply reading the judgment. None of these people will inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the word says. But you want to know the good news. Here's the good news. Verse 11. And such were some of you. And I don't want you to raise your hand. But such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So when we believe in Jesus, the Spirit of God makes us new creations. And we can say, I used to be that way, but now I'm a new creation because I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in such a way that I am in Christ. I am baptized in Jesus. I am immersed in Jesus. So such was some of you. You've been sanctified and justified in Jesus Christ. There is life in His name. There is no other name under heaven whereby you and I must be saved by, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other name. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through who? Through Jesus. There's no other name that we can have life. Also, there is unity in His name. Here's a passage, Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, that speaks of unity in His name. Now, many times we'll quote this or misquote it, where two or three are gathered together in His name, where will He be? Right there in the midst. Gathered together in whose name? In Jesus' name. He will be in the midst. Now, the context of Matthew chapter 8 is church discipline, where if you've been offended, or you have an ought against a brother, you go to that brother or that sister, and if you can't work it out, bring two or three more. If you can't work it out, bring it before the church. But when two or three are gathered together to make peace, Jesus is where? In the midst. In the midst. Because there is unity in the name of Jesus. We have a common bond. Our common bond in this church, yes, there's friendships. Yes, there's fishing buddies, the golf partners. Yes, there's husband and wives. Yes, there's family. But if it was not for the name of Jesus, then all we are is a social club or a good old boy club or a good old sister club. But with the name of Jesus, we are a blood-bought church. And our common bond is Jesus Christ. And if your common bond is not Jesus in here with you this morning, then you need to be born again. You need to believe in Jesus Christ, because there's no life without Jesus, and there's no unity of worship and spirit without being in the name of Jesus Christ. We have a common bond. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So when we are perfectly joined together, and to be perfectly joined together is to only be in Jesus Christ. Now, if this makes you uncomfortable, you need to be born again. But we have this common bond, and we fit together. We can work things out in Jesus Christ. But if someone comes to make divisions, then not have the Spirit of Christ, the Word of God tells us to shun them until they repent. We don't need to go bow down to someone who will not place their faith in Jesus Christ and to cause division in the church. But if they will repent and turn to Christ and ask for forgiveness, the church surrounds them and loves on them. Now, we love everybody, but we hate sin. We love those who do not know Jesus Christ. We want them to come and place their faith in Jesus Christ. But if it's to cause division and it's not the Spirit of Christ, then the church is to place them away until they repent. But there is unity in the body. We're all baptized in Jesus Christ. We have this common bond. Also, there is no church without His name. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Again, these are just a few passages of scriptures. The whole volume of the book is about Jesus. But there is no church without the name of Jesus. You see, you can memorize scripture all you want to and do this and do that. But if you do not know Jesus and if those scriptures do not lead you to Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God, then you have no church. You don't know Jesus. You're lost and dead in sins and trespasses because there is no church without His name. I pastored a church one time and one of my members went to a great big old First Baptist church. Now, I'm Baptist. I've been Baptist all my life, so I can talk about Baptist. Amen? But he went to this great big old First Baptist church. And you would think that in a Baptist church, you would at least hear the name of Jesus. But he said, Pastor, I went to that church and we sang, we prayed. I even heard the sermon from the pastor and not one time did I hear the name of Jesus. Now, folks, was that church? That's not church. That's not worship, the name of Jesus. That's not worshiping God through our only mediator, our great high priest. It's Jesus Christ and no other. There's no church without the name of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God always glorifies Jesus Christ. You see, even when we pray, I make sure that when I pray publicly that I say Jesus in there someplace. Why is that? Because I want you to know who I'm praying to. When we sing songs, I want to know who we're singing to. When I preach, you better know who I'm preaching about and who we are to grow closer to and to grow in His likeness. And that likeness is Jesus Christ. You see, I want to know who you're praying to. Some would say degrade it and say, well, you don't have to say, well, I want to know in public who you're praying to in this church. I want to know. Because it could be, in this Bible, there's many gods mentioned. But at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So when we worship Jesus, our hearts, our knees, our beings is bowed to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I want to know because prayer and singing and preaching is to edify the church, to bring Him glory and to edify the church. And there is no edification. There's no growth in Christ's likeness. There's no worship of God without the name of Jesus. And if we're to edify one another in worship and in Bible study, then it better be all about Jesus Christ. Amen? Because there's no church without His name. And if that makes you uncomfortable, you need to get saved. Oh God, come to Christ this morning. But we need to stop using this generic word for God and just say God this and God that. We need to say the name of Jesus Christ, because there's no relationship without Him. No relationship. There is service and worship through His name. Colossians chapter 3 verse 17 says this, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Matthew chapter 18 verse 5, Mark chapter 9 verse 41, among many other passages of Scripture, here's one. "Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. And if you give a cold glass of water to someone in Jesus' name," whose name? In Jesus' name. Don't even give it in the name of Cooper Baptist Church. When you do something, you do it in whose name? In Jesus' name. You will not lose your reward. Oh, but there'll be a whole bunch of people. Many will do this and do that in His name. But He'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." I wonder why. It wasn't in the name of Jesus for one reason. It wasn't in His name. It don't care if He cast out demons. It's not in the name of Jesus. The king there at the judgment will say to these group of people that, "You have done this unto me." And they'll ask the king, "When did we clothe you? When did we feed you? When did we minister to you?" And the king will say, "When you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me," is what Jesus will say. You see, there is service and worship through His name. And there's power in His name. Hallelujah. There's power to save. There's power to heal. And there's power to resurrect the dead in His name. John chapter 14 verse 13 says this. Jesus says this. John chapter 14 verse 13. "That whatever you ask," He says, "and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." And in the context is loving Him and serving Him as He loved and served the disciples and even washed their feet there at the Last Supper. So He's not a Santa Claus up there. When you ask something in His name, it must be according to His will. It should not contradict this. And when you're witnessing for Him and serving Him, I promise you, He will provide a way. He will meet every need. Amen? There's power in His name. Acts chapter 16 is a story where Paul is out preaching, and there's a demoniac slave girl, that has a familiar spirit, and she would go around and say, "These are the prophets of the Most High God." And it bothered Paul. And finally, when he was bothered enough, he turned to that girl and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And at that same hour, the Bible says, that demonic spirit came out of that girl. But the people didn't like it. They started losing their money because she was bringing them profit. But see, there's power in the name of Jesus to even cast out demons. And let me tell you something this morning. If you are influenced by demonic activity through drugs or alcohol or other things that is a demonic influence on your life, in the name of Jesus and through the power of His name, you can be released from that. Amen? You trust in Jesus. Get all the help you can, but you cling to Jesus because there's power in His name. One last point. We need to hold fast to His name. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Beginning in verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write. The angel means messenger here, and that's the pastor, the main teacher of the church. To the pastor of the church. These things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell. Where do they dwell? It says where Satan's throne is. That's a pretty tough place to minister, isn't it? Where Satan's throne is over there in them parts of the world. Of course, we got them now in the United States. Those great big old paganistic statues that they worshipped and these demonic gods that they worshipped. And there they were and Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name. Who do they hold fast to? To His name. And did not deny my faith. You see, when you don't hold fast to His name, what are you doing? You're denying the faith. You done denied the faith when you don't hold fast to His name. And do not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. That's a tough place to minister, isn't it? All we got to worry about is people to shun us or something like that here in the United States. We're blessed, aren't we? We're blessed. But folks, this word hold fast is a military term. It's to do all your strength, all your might to hold fast, to not retreat, not to recede in any way, but to hold fast to His name. And if we do not hold fast to His name and delve over to some generic word for God, which could mean any God, any one of them. You take your pick, it could even be you. If you're not holding fast to the name that's above every name, to the name that has saved you by His grace and mercy, to our Redeemer, to the Alpha and the Omega, to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the angel said to call His name Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. You hold fast to that name. Do not deny the faith. You cling to Jesus. Because without Him, we have nothing and we have no hope. Now this morning, if you do not know Jesus personally, because through His name we have access. He is our great high priest. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And if you believe any other access to the throne of grace and mercy through some saint or the Pope or good works or anything besides through Jesus Christ and His shed blood, you're a heretic and you need to repent and place your faith in the name that will save you and give you access through His throne of grace and mercy. There should be a fear upon your heart right now. If you do not have Jesus in your heart and you do not believe in His name, there should be a fear upon you to repent. I don't care who you are, what your name are, or what you've done, or how many or how many years you've been a member of Cooper Baptist Church, or if you've been baptized or not. Without Jesus, you're dead in your sins, folks, and you need to repent and place your faith in Him. Do not deny Him. Judgment is coming. It is coming. Let us pray. Oh Lord Jesus, we do thank You for Your love and Your great mercy. What a wonderful name we have to cling to hold on to. Even if we become martyrs, Lord, the sufferings of this time is not even worthy to be compared to what lies in state, because You, Jesus, have gone to prepare a place for us. And You will come again. Oh Lord, please touch hearts. May we repent. May we cling to You and hold fast to Your great name. Amen.